Hey guys, it's Sammy
and Robbie
back again to tell you about another upcoming con.
And we're super excited about this one.
Mm-hmm. It's another Indiana one. This one is PopCon, Indie PopCon to be exact. And it's going to be in Indianapolis, again at the Convention Center.
Indiana Convention Center.
Right in downtown Indianapolis. And Robbie will be there April 26th through the 28th.
Yes. We were just at the Indiana Comic-Con, so if you missed us, you get a chance to meet us again at PopCon.
Yes, well, at least Robbie.
At least me. Ashley will be there.
Oh, yeah, Ashley will be there. That's an exciting thing.
Ashley will be there, so you get to meet a lot of us on the network.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Two-thirds of it, yes.
There you go. Yeah.
So if you're coming to the show, please stop by the Limitless Broadcasting booth. We're always excited to see you.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see you guys at the show.
Bye.
Bye. You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I solemnly swear that I am up to no good.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Turn to page 394.
Of course it's happening inside your head, Harry. Why should that mean that it's not real?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I am Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan.
Good evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you are.
Afternoon.
Whatever this is.
For us.
For you.
Well, it's afternoon for us. But
for us, it's afternoon.
Yes. We always say good morning, so it's like.
This is true.
Yeah, but it's not today. Yeah,
it's not.
Mm-mm.
We are starting at the mid-afternoon, so the coffee's kicked in, the energy's there. Should be a good
yeah, we shall see. Yeah.
A good time to cry.
No. Oh. But anyways, before we get there,
it's gonna be a big episode. It's gonna be
it's gonna be two episodes.
Yeah, two.
We got part one and part two next week. So, oh dear Lord, buckle up, friends. Mm-hmm. But before we get there, just a reminder: we're produced by Limitless Broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Go check it out.
And check out YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, all the things.
Mm-hmm. All right, so. We are entering the last book, the last two movies of the Harry Potter.
Can't believe we're already here.
It's crazy.
I know.
But what's great is when HBO starts, every year we're going to be able to just do a season, like a summer or a month of the seasons.
True.
So we're going to get to do this all over again.
That is accurate.
Shows.
We're going to have to get sad all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh.
Well, not for a little while.
We have like 10 years before we have to deal with this book.
Yeah, because you know, the first three
seasons will be fine.
Yeah.
Season four starts to wander off.
Yeah.
But anywho.
Well, it's about season four when things start to get a little more
true. Darker.
Well, it's when we have our real first death.
Or would technically cover Goblet of Fire. That's when our real first death actually happens.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it just goes downhill.
Then we get to Deathly Hallows, where it's one every chapter. Probably more. But anyways.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It is a lot. Mm-hmm. So, Pixie Dusters, we are just doing part one today of the movie. So we split the book stuff. And we're only doing about 10, 12 points about the book. Mm-hmm. Just because we have a lot to discuss with just the enormity of Deathly Hallows. So I didn't want to take up too much of our time with comparison. The one I do really want to hit on that I really hate that the movie didn't keep the scene in there. I think it was dumb cutting it. They're idiots. I want to punch them in the face. Is they took out the beginning scene with Harry and Dudley. Like, we're going to just start off right off the bat. I have the quote later on as we get down into our favorite quotes. But Dudley literally goes up to Harry and says, "You're not a waste of space. After all of these years, after everything he's put him through, after the crap, after the all of it, he's finally acknowledged that Harry actually is worth something to him and to his family. And he acknowledges it. And why the bleepity bleep bleep did you take it out of the bleepity bleep movie?"
Sorry, I agree. I agree.
No, that's fair. I wish it was there.
Yeah. I actually didn't know about that scene until last night. It was like on, it was on YouTube. It was like the extended whatever.
They didn't leave this in there.
What the heck?
If only.
They leaved some of the parts in with Petunia.
But still.
Right.
Which is good.
Yes. Because finally, you finally got to see the emotion from Petunia that she actually like, it did affect her when she lost her sister.
Right. But, it was a big deal.
It's even like the smallest bigger deal.
Glimpse of humanity that we actually see in that woman.
Yes. Very small, but it's there.
It's there.
Someone, I don't know if it's real canon or if JK like said it, but someone said, wouldn't it be cool if like Dudley ends up having a witch or wizard for a child? And because he finally acknowledges Harry, like they become friends afterwards and actually goes to family things and Harry helps them Dudley through the Diagon Alley. I'm like, I don't know if that's real, but
that's a nice thought.
Mean, he Dudley could have a witch or wizard.
True.
It's in the bloodline.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that was a big one for me.
Yes.
The rest of these, I mean, I understand some of them of why they took them out, why they didn't add them in, but I thought they were pretty important. Screen Rant thought they were important, so we're going to go through them. So in the book, the real reason Potter was recognized was that he used his go-to spell, Expelliarmus, on Stan, who, if you guys remember, Stan is the night bus attendant from the third movie. He becomes a part of the Dark Lord, and that's how they realize who it is, because no one else uses Expelliarmus like Harry does. So that's how they figured it out. But they changed it in the movie with Hedwig giving him away instead. But either way, Hedwig dies protecting him. Like, that's book, movie. It's, so small thing, but just it is a little significant. Let's see here. And in, so when they're leaving the house, which is like one of my absolute favorite beginning scenes other than Dudley and Harry, they actually are not all supposed to meet at the Burrow, so we actually get to see Harry and Hagrid landing at Tonks's house. So Dan, they deprived you.
They did. How
Yeah, they don't go to the Burrow first.
We got deprived of seeing what Tonks's house would look like, which I think would be interesting. And they thought it'd be best because splitting up, worst case scenario, at least some people are going to survive. Which is just like this whole book of like, well, we're going to do this, and if some people survive, great. If not, thank you for your service. It really was a war. Let's see here. This did irritate me in the movie. I remember when we got to the wedding scene in the movie, this really irritated me because Harry's just walking around all willy-nilly at the movie or in the wedding, but actually they disguise him because no one's supposed to know where he is. And he's disguised as a muggle redhead boy that Fred and George like got the hair off of some at some point. So I hated that change. I thought it wasn't cohesive with what was supposed to be going on. So I don't know why they didn't. I know it's going to be more CGI, but still, like, it's important that we know that Harry's supposed to be hidden. So there's that one. So I forgot about this. Fleur invited Victor Crumb. Let's get into Ron and Hermione. So she actually invited Victor Crumb to the wedding. He and Hermione are thrilled to see one another, and Ron, of course, jealously escorts her away to the dance floor. Crumb is also angered.
No, I was just saying I do remember reading that.
Like, Crumb was actually angered by Lovegood, also in the story, wearing the Deathly Hallows symbol. Crumb only knows it as Grindelwald's symbol because it's, I think they're the same country, blah, blah, blah. In the site, Oh, no, no, no. I'm sorry. He murdered his grandfather. Grindelwald murdered Crumb's grandfather, gotcha. Which just makes him very angry. So
right.
mm-hmm. we kind of get to know the Deathly Hallows a mm-hmm. little bit and hear Grindelwald's name before later on, like in the movie. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the actor came and filmed. I believe he did film a little bit and it just.
He did, and they cut it.
Yeah.
Dum Dums took it out.
Still didn't make
it. I would have been okay with this being a 3-4 hour movie. I would have mm-hmm. done it. Just give me a little intermission to go to the bathroom and we would have been good.
Yeah, this movie could have been longer than it was.
They could have did what they did with the Titanic movie.
Actually do an intermission like in the mm-hmm. middle of it.
We're going to take yeah. a break and yeah. we shall return.
I could have seen that.
They mm-hmm. could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Oh, okay. So after, the wedding, it goes crazy. New Minister of Magic's already dead. And Ron, Harry, and Hermione get out. Well, mm-hmm. while they're at Sirius's house, Lupin actually shows up at the house wanting to go on the journey with them.
Yep.
But Harry's like, no, you literally have a child on the way with Tonks. You need mm-hmm. to stay. You need to take care of your family. They have a big fight and Lupin ends up leaving, but they just had to add it in the movie, which I get. It would have taken up a lot of time and it's not really that. They don't really talk about Sirius and Tonks, or not Sirius, oh my gosh, Lupin and Tonks throughout the mm-hmm. whole movie. So it would be pointless to add those scenes in, which I think is a sad that we don't know more about what's going on with their relationship in this movie.
I agree.
That's one thing I'll hope for, like for the series. I hope they kind of expound on them a little
bit. Yeah, we get more of everybody.
Them as a couple in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's see here. So just one thing, just a small little thing. A lot of their plans, the movie makes it sound like it's going to go really fast. In the book, she actually expounds on the plans. It takes a lot more time to plan, and she draws a lot of it out. So there's a lot of drawing out when it comes to putting the plans into place. That's just a small little thing. But in the book, when Harry and Hermione are at Godric's Hollow, they're sadly looking over the remains of the Hollow. And what makes it the most tragic is that there is actually, I hate they didn't do this, a tribute at his whole house of a mural to James and Lily Potter with messages of support for many of the members mm-hmm. of the magical community. There's actually years later, 17 years later, 16 mm-hmm. years later, they are still memorializing Lily and James for what they did mm-hmm. in their sacrifice. So mm-hmm. I'm really sad that they didn't do that. I thought that like when I was rewatching it today, when it was just him in the graveyard with just the headstone and there was no flowers, there was nothing. It does make it feel like they weren't, no one remembered them, no one right. cared for them, nothing. But in essence, the community did care for them and love them. Mm-hmm. They just didn't show it, which makes me angry.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Harry starts crying during that scene and they didn't put it in the movie. And I think mm-hmm. they should have, because Harry shows a lot of emotion in this book and we don't get to see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see here. They did mention the waltz that Harry and Hermione do once Ron is an idiot and leaves, mm-hmm. was a lot more joyous, and like the song, like how they described it in the book, was not this like haunting song. Like it actually was like a joyous moment. They were laughing. They were, from what I was reading about the book, it just, and I don't remember the scene. I got to go back and read it.
I don't think they did a dance in the book. If I remember right, they added that for the movie only because they wanted to do a more special scene between Harry and Hermione.
The dance at all.
I don't believe they do any of that in the book. That's
did
not part
I
of it.
Read that wrong then when they, or did they give me the wrong one?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that that's not a book thing at all.
So Screen Rant was wrong. Because
I believe this is just
in
a movie
the
thing.
Book.
They just decided to do it. Mm-hmm.
Huh. It was one of my favorite scenes in the movie, and then when I read the book, I kept waiting for that scene to pop up, and I was like, mm-hmm. wait, it never did, because I don't remember reading that at all.
No, as far as I know, that was a specific decision the screenwriter made, was to add that scene in.
Okay. So I will X that out, right. because That was
misinformation. The internet lied to us.
Misinformation given to me.
A little confusing, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're
back. Sorry about that, guys. Let's see here. Three more.
False information.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, apparently they just dragged out the scene of them getting chased. Mm-hmm. And it actually was a lot shorter. And Hermione even had less time to figure out how to disguise Harry. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, both of them are pretty tense, whether it's that scene or the book. It was a tense scene. So, also, Dean Thomas was supposed to be captured and brought in with Harry and Ron and Hermione to Malfoy Tower. Not, like, I think he was just being brought in from a different part. But he was supposed to be in there with them. He was also interrogated by Bellatrix, but most of the time he was just in the cellar.
Mm-hmm.
But he was there. And then last but not least, I forgot about this. Pettigrew doesn't make it out of the first part of this book because he's getting choked to death by his own silver hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And dies.
Mm-hmm.
So bye-bye.
Yep. Yep.
Nice.
That's what happens when you get a hand from the Dark Lord. That's what happens.
Yep.
You're at risk of getting choked to death.
Yeah.
By it.
He did it to himself. Yeah.
He really did.
I don't feel bad.
I don't feel bad either. It's like, finally, someone who deserved to die, died.
Mm-hmm. He deserved it. Right. Yeah. So.
We don't get a lot of these story, do we?
No, we don't. Mm-hmm.
People who deserve to die actually dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we get it at the end of this book, but it took 7 books to get there.
Took quite a while. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's really all the book that I wanted to go through. Those were kind of the big points.
Okay.
Cool. So let's dive into this movie.
All right. Okay. So this movie, we were talking about part one, and please forgive us, dear listeners, if we confuse anything, because I know I personally struggle with keeping the two apart. From reading, you know, like, it all blends together for me. Whether it's
this is why I literally watched them,
yeah,
like within the last 24 hours, so I could keep them separate.
Yeah, it bleeds together sometimes. So please forgive us if we get a little confused, but try and stay on point.
What if we had a call in segment where people are just like, excuse me, that's not the right fact. Like, somebody called in and just
you guys are talking about the wrong movie.
Excuse me.
This is why we don't do things live.
Right.
I would not enjoy that. Trying to like read people's comments or listen to that. No, I would not enjoy that.
No.
Okay. So part one, Deathly Hallows. This is a PG-13 movie, as it should be.
Right.
For brief sensuality. I'll give you this one. The last time we saw this tag, I was like, but this time I'll allow it. And it does have intense action and violence. Yes. A fantasy adventure for genre. Director, again, David Yates. Producer, David Heyman, David Baron, and J.K. Rowling. Writer, Steve Kloves, and of course, based on characters by J.K. This movie came out November 19th, 2010, and its USA box office gross was $295 million. It's 2 hours, 26 minutes long. Ratings. Critics gave it a 77%. According to Rotten Tomatoes, audiences, 85. And it's at a 7.7 out of 10 on IMDb. Oh, goodness. I just cannot get over these IMDb ratings.
None of them have been over 8.
There, we shall wait until the next one. I'm double checking right now. So far,
everyone's been in the 7s. So I think the highest was 7.9.
Let me. I'm double checking. Prisoner of Azkaban made a 7.9 out of 10 on IMDb. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dum dums.
There we go. Yeah. All right. So I got some trivia for you. This is the first of the Harry Potter movies to have J.K. Rowling as a producer. So there you go. It took her a while, but she finally got a producer credit. I'm surprised it wasn't sooner, but it's Hollywood. So. According to David Heyman, the work print of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows was at 5.5 hours long. The shooting script was close to 500 pages. So they were like, yeah, we're going to split this movie into two. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got two movies. Was because of the shooting draft. This is the only film in the franchise that does not have Dame Maggie Smith as Miss Minerva McGonagall, or David Bradley as Argus Filch, or Alfred Enoch as Dean Thomas. I mean, I don't really, no offense, Dean Thomas, don't really care as much about you, but it's sad, no McGonagall in this movie, unfortunately.
Well, he's not.
I forgot about that too. As I was watching it, I was like, wait a minute, this is pretty much just the trio for like 80% of it.
It's, yeah, there was a lot of burden on them when we were going into these last two. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's always been like a lot for them, but especially this time.
I mean, they had to carry pretty much the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
They did.
Yeah,
they
especially. Did a great job at it. Yeah, and not especially even in Emma the trio, it was Daniel. Yeah,
yep, it was
really, really, yeah, on those two. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot. So Bill Weasley was played by Domhnall Gleeson, who is the son of Brendan Gleeson, who is Mad-Eye Moody.
I knew that.
Yeah, and it's just interesting because the novel specifically says that after being attacked, Bill is so scarred he looks like Moody. So there you go, lots of tie-ins together. Nice. Fun times.
Fun fact, whatever his first name is, Gleeson, played what's his face in Force Awakens.
Yeah, he was also in Star Wars. Yeah. Remember him?
He's the sniveling.
I love his character.
His name?
It's
I'm blanking on his name. I usually know his name.
I know, me too.
It's on the tip of my tongue, I swear.
It's fine, we'll move
anyways
on.
But yeah, I love his character.
You remember, this is the last day of the Republic.
And he gives so much crap to Kylo, it's just great. I just love it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so Jason Isaacs, who is Lucius Malfoy, originally considered not returning to this movie because he's like, oh no, my character was arrested and imprisoned in the Order of the Phoenix, so I'm not gonna really have any screen time, right? So he met J.K. Rowling and he begged to let the character out of prison. Please let me out of prison. And she was like, you're out. Chapter one. So he immediately signed on to join.
Well, we already knew he was out. We knew he was out. Did he not read the book?
No, I don't think he did. Because, yeah, I mean, like, she's like chapter one, which is literally like right at the very beginning.
You're there.
Bro. Like, you're right there at the opening. Okay, so
don't have your wand anymore and you're disgraced and really Voldemort hates you, but you know, you're out.
You look pretty bad in this one. You look like you need some sleep.
You have no control anymore.
No,
your wife controls you.
Exactly.
It's terrible.
I mean, all of the Slytherin or all of the Malfoys look like they need some serious vitamin D anyway.
Already,
but
yes.
It's worse.
It does get worse.
He looked excessively bad.
He did. Yep. Very, very bad in this one. So filming the Seven Harrys scene was so complex that Daniel Radcliffe counted over 90 takes for just a single shot. Ooh, so yeah, talking about carrying the film, just that scene alone. Whew, Daniel Radcliffe, yeah, he's a busy guy.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, in this one.
Oh yeah.
As in her previous movies, actor Ivana Lynch designed a lot of her accessories and whatnot for Luna, as we know, because she loves Luna. So we're talking about the jewelry, things for the house. Mm-hmm. She even came up with her own dance moves for the wedding scene, which is based on the concept of wafting rack spurts away, which is how it was said to have looked to Harry in the novel. So, yeah, I love her.
Amazing.
I love her. Yeah, perfect casting. Just can't say it enough. Mm-hmm. Perfect casting right there.
Yeah. She really grew on me as a character.
Oh, who, Luna?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Upon seeing the set for Hermione's bedroom, Emma Watson told the set decorators that there should be more books, which they happily accommodated. And I love that, because if anyone's going to know Hermione at this point, it's Emma.
Her room should practically be a library.
Yes. So I'm glad she said something. Mm-hmm. When she walked in, she's like, no, we need to update this. Come on.
More books everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere. Over 500 wands were created for this movie. They were checked out and checked in before, during, and after filming. It was completed for each day, and many came back broken. So makes sense. They had to have lots and lots of wands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll have some more wand facts in the next one too that we talk about, particularly for Daniel and what he did to them.
He was not kind to his wand.
Daniel. Yes, we all discuss that. So there was a scene filmed in which Tonks told Molly that she was pregnant, but it was cut. And even though it is hard to see, Tonks is wearing maternity gown at Bill and Flora's wedding in the final film. So there is at least a little visual of it. But yeah, and we've already just talked about that, how we wish they were more involved.
Well, it's like this whole movie, including part two, they like cut out the fact that until he's like talking to the ghosts, you have no clue that they have a child.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't put that in the ghost scene, like before he goes to die the first time or the only time, mm-hmm. You would have known.
I know, without having already read the books. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So Scabbier's violent twist in the air when Bellatrix uses her whip on him was not in the original script, but the actor Nick Moran improvised it on set to avoid being upstaged by Helena Bonham Carter. The filmmakers liked it and they're like, okay, we'll use it. And he was excited until he realized that for it to work, he'd have to repeat it for several takes. You got to think this through, friend. You're going to be doing this constantly. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And having Bellatrix carve mud blood into Hermione's arm during the torture scene was not in the original script, but it was an idea that Emma Watson and Helena Bonham Carter came up with together on the spur of the moment during filming. So they actually talked about it and came up with it together.
Yeah, because it's not in the book, nice. Is it?
No, she does not. Like, they do not talk about that at all in the book.
We hear the torturing, mm-hmm. but we don't know what she's doing to torture her.
Mm-hmm. And they never mentioned seeing anything on, like, Hermione's arm or anything, which, you know,
yeah.
they would have seen and said something or asked her about, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And finally, the Main Street set in Godric's Hollow is the same set used for Hogsmeade in Prisoner of Azkaban, but obviously they changed it up a little bit. So, yeah. again, they have to reuse stuff, so makes sense, you know. And Snape's redemption. So I don't have a lot really to share because Snape's not in this a whole lot. And when he is, you know, he's being all death eatery. So
I don't know how any of this is redemption.
Okay. First of all, no, my point was for the first one, Ashley is so rude. You know, I'm trying to talk and she just like interrupts.
I saw the grin when you were like, there's no redemption for Snape in this one. I can see Ashley's like, hey.
Okay.
No, I don't have a grin. I don't understand point number two.
I'm explaining this. I don't say I agree with this. Will you just let me read it so people know what we're talking about?
Yes, go
ahead. My goodness. Okay. So first point.
I love poking the bear.
First point. Snape did hit George with that curse that must, you know, got rid of his ear. But he was aiming for a Death Eater. So it was an accident. So I just want to point that out. So when they're all like, oh, Snape did it. He did, but he didn't mean to. He was trying to hit another Death Eater, which means he was trying to be helpful.
How do we know he was going to hit another Death Eater? Was it in the book?
Yeah, it's explained somewhere. I didn't just make this up.
I don't remember it being explained.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, so the next one.
Well, it's a big book. I just don't remember.
The next one, there's a theory. I did not come up with this. I read this morning and I was like, I don't know how I feel about this because there's no indication of this whatsoever. But there's a theory floating around on the interwebs that Snape killed Hedwig. This would be in the book, obviously not the movie, because as we talked about, things are different. But in the book that Snape killed Hedwig because that was a giveaway that he was the real Harry Potter and that he did it to help protect him. I don't know any of this. I'm just letting you know that that was a thing that was out there. But I don't know if I believe that because I'm like, I don't know where they got this from. You internet peoples. I don't know where that came from. But I just thought it was interesting when I read it. So, yeah. And the last one. You cannot argue this one. If you try and argue with me, I don't know what your problem is.
I haven't read
lady.
It yet, so go for it.
Okay. Okay.
I haven't read it yet.
Ashley can't
I've only
argue
read
this
the first
one.
Two.
All right. So, remember, and this is, I don't think they do this in the movie, if I don't recall, at least. When they're in the tents. Okay. And they would listen to a little radio. Ron had the radio that used to drive Harry crazy. And they would hear news about what was going on and try and figure out, you know, they'd hear news about what was happening to everybody back at Hogwarts and whatnot. So they hear news from Hogwarts that Ginny, Luna, and Neville actually tried to steal the Sword of Gryffindor. And Snape catches them because, you know, can't be doing that in the office. And they're punished. But their punishment is that they're sent to the Forbidden Forest with Hagrid. And I remember this from the book because Harry or Ron, whoever, they're just like laughing about it because they're like, oh, ha, ha, Snape is so stupid. They would enjoy that punishment. And I'm like, he knows. He knows.
Okay.
He didn't really punish them.
He was trying to save them from the twins. mm-hmm. from the Carcaron twins.
Yes. Aha.
Yes. Okay. I agree.
Okay. Yeah, that's the best I could do, though. I'll have a lot more, obviously, next one, but because this was split into two, it was harder for me to do based on that.
Yeah, so. I figured. I have a debate for, I have some of my own points to go against next book for you. I don't know if I'm going to win, but I at least have some points.
Mm-mm. It's going to be interesting.
It will.
That's actually one way funny to say it. Because I was watching one, we'll get to it in the next one, and then mm-hmm. I started involving Snape on YouTube, scrolling through the comments, and comments were just an all-out war about Snape.
Oh, people, like, yeah, they were very divided in the Harry Potter community about how you feel about him. Yes, I'm not surprised.
There's my side who hates him and doesn't angry. Think he earns redemption.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then there's Sammy's side.
I think Dan is on my side.
I know, but in this scenario, you and I are the most divided on it. Dan
tries to be nicer about it. He
holds his stuff in.
He thinks you're wrong. It's okay. It's fine.
Wouldn't be the first time.
We'll get to it in the next episode, but I'm basically doing the Captain America pose where he's holding onto the helicopter in the building. That's me between the two of you, just keeping you balanced between this.
Yeah.
Analogy for it.
I love it. It's so true, though.
That's what I'm doing.
It's so true.
My whole life. That's what I've always done. I've always been the guy to try and keep people together. Everyone dumps their problems on me, and I'm the glue that keeps me together. Y'all should be thanking me.
Thank you.
Thanks. He probably does help, though, because it was just the two of us. It would just be us going back and forth.
We would literally just be fighting about Snape the whole episode. We'd talk about nothing else.
So we'd be like, we're done. You guys have a great one. Bye. We do need Dan. Dan is vital to this.
He is. You've become a vital part of our podcast.
Yes.
Mazel tov. So what I'm here.
Mazel tov.
Well, Dan, why don't you tell us your favorite characters?
Oh, we're already there yet? Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're there. Woo. Okay. Wow. We're there.
We flew through those facts.
I know. We flew through.
All right.
Because we got other stuff to discuss.
There's a lot.
Discuss. Wait, which one is which? Am I clicking on?
Okay, we're on Deathly Hallows 1.
No, yeah, I had part 2 open.
Ah.
See, I
that
told
could
you.
Confuse you.
So confusing.
The, yeah. Which, I mean, it's the character. My character list are pretty much the same anyway.
Right?
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, the twins, obviously, the trio kind of had to like him because they're like the majority of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Luna, like I said, in these last few movies, Luna really, really grew on me. Mm-hmm. And then naturally have to mention Dobby.
You notice we haven't talked about it yet.
We will get there.
We all know it's coming. I'm just, you know, kind of preparing. I'm preparing everyone. Everyone knows. Everyone who's seen it, we know where they're going to get sad anyway. So I'm just kind of like, you know,
so
getting people ready for that moment.
I couldn't watch it when I rewatched the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped it.
Yeah,
actually,
before.
I skipped it. I skipped because mm-hmm. I couldn't watch him sitting there in Harry's arms. And I could not watch Harry falling apart. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it. And I'm already tearing up.
That's rough. It was rough.
It's terrible. It was horrible to read about. It was horrible to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was probably harder for me in the book because I remember that. I remember I was at a coffee house first time I read that, and I had mm-hmm. to put it down, and I just like stared into oblivion for like 5-10 minutes straight.
Mm-hmm. It's so sad.
Yeah.
His and the twin is probably my biggest ones. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that hit me the hardest.
That was mm-hmm. yeah. No, that was definitely a hard one for sure. No, and mm-mm. yeah.
And we're actually gonna read it. In the next episode.
All right.
Oh, great.
I remember what you said. I remember Super. What you said about the actor who the twin, the actor.
Yes.
Yeah, James
had a hard time with it. Mm-hmm.
Right. When he was actually crying over like the twins' death, but like the mm-hmm. crying was actually real. When I watched mm-hmm. that scene, I was like, oh yeah, that is real.
Uh-huh.
That is very real.
Yeah, I can't imagine trying to film that. Oh my gosh.
Yep. And yeah. poor Fred / I can't remember which one plays which. He's like, I'm okay. I'm here. I'm alive.
Dude, I'm right here. Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
I'm actually dead.
It's all right.
I'm here.
All
right. Oh, okay.
Moving on.
Of course, twins. I yep. love them in this movie. They are the comical relief to me in this
Thank
movie.
Thank goodness.
A lot of different parts. Mm-hmm. They're amazing. I love Hedwig. I just have to memorialize Hedwig.
Mm.
Harry, I love Harry in this one. I actually, as I was watching him again, I'm like, you know what? These are probably my two favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get more emotionally invested in these two movies than the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
So Harry's a big part of that, part of this movie for me. I can't put the whole trio because I can't put Ron.
I didn't either. If you noticed my list.
Yeah, I can't do it. He ticks me off. I know I know why he's ticking us off, because he's had the Horcrux on the longest. It's getting into his soul, and right. But the problem is, I really do feel like the Horcruxes feed off of the emotions you are already harboring.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it's just amplifying the jealousy to the point where he's actually saying it out loud.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Hermione, I can't put Hermione on this because she's me. Like, I can see myself in her on the fact that she's trying to reason with this boy who is actually not good for her at this moment. He's being toxic, and she's harboring feelings. Like, it's toxic. I was watching it today. I'm like, oh my gosh, this whole movie until they finally like give in to each other. They just are a toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how they go back and forth. So I just couldn't put both of them.
Okay.
I'm gonna let you move on.
Yeah. Okie dokes. Now I put Hermione down, not because of Ron, because I did not put Ron down. I put Hermione down because, as we all know, and we have routinely said over and over again, without Hermione, Harry, Ron, everybody in the entire world would be screwed. So thank you, Hermione.
This is very true.
Who packed the bags and was ready to go. She brought everything that they would need. That they would have never thought about. She had the tents. She was prepared with the spells to make sure they were hidden. Thank you, Hermione. Thank you.
She really does get so little recognition for what she's done, for what that she deserves.
She's vital to this making it.
I think that's why in Cursed Child, she made her Minister of Magic.
That could be.
Because she needed, like, Hermione deserves that spot.
She does. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anybody else who would deserve that.
Yep. Yeah, we know the last couple were duds. So
not so good.
Yeah. Not so great.
No. So I also put Harry again. He's just grown so much. It's amazing to see him and see how he's able to kind of start to take charge, and he still harbors anger and all of that, which we know again is related to Horcrux, but he does such a better job of managing it and taking control of his feelings and situations, and it's just great to see. Bellatrix, because she is the worst, and she plays it just, Helena, I just cannot get over it. It's just so well done.
She went full psycho in this movie.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just perfect. And just perfection, yeah, for an evil character. Just
absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
The twins, same thing, everybody put down. If we did not have them, it would have been slightly less funny. I say slightly with a hint of sarcasm. Yeah, they added a lot to it.
They did.
Yeah. And then Dobby, which I don't want to talk about. So there we go. Okay. Favorite scenes. Take it away, Dan.
Breezing over that diary. Seven Harrys disguising as Harry. Probably one of the, George trolling Harry and Ginny in the kitchen, doing that little cartoon sneak up behind them when they're having their little sensual moment.
Morning.
Classic George, classic twins. The wedding, the definitely good tension breaker. Infiltrating the ministry. I mean, really, anytime somebody takes Polyjuice Potion and becomes somebody else, it's just a whole entrance for something, for just hijinks that ensue. And it's funny because as dark as this movie was, like that soul sequence always surprises me. There's just like so much random humor. In this incredibly like dark film.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have a couple quotes from that scene in my favorites.
It's just hard to not
sure
pick
we have
every
all
quote.
The same quotes.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They just,
Let's just play the whole movie on the podcast today.
And we should, because honestly, it's just so good.
It'll be like a Mystery Science Theater, like comment on it.
Yeah, just live watch something and discuss it. Oh, we should do that. That sounds like so much fun. Oh my goodness.
That'd be so much fun.
Oh, that sounds like a blast.
Okay, we'll brainstorm how we're going to do this later on, but we're doing
like it. So much fun.
Okay. I don't know why, but we're doing it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else? Harry finally giving Umbridge what she deserves, and I didn't put this as a quote, but I'm just going to mention it anyway. The fact that he uses her first name, like, to me, that's something so, like, just just stripping her again of that power. It's like, sorry, Dolores, you're lying. Yeah. Like, oh, I love that.
So, love it.
Still mad that she didn't die in that
scene.
Dead.
Yeah.
So I have a theory.
Yeah. What's that?
Mm-hmm. I think they, so what I put down, I put it in my notes about her, and that since you brought up dead. So I was sitting there watching the movie and thinking about her versus the Dementors, and part of me wonders, I'm like, there's no way she would die in Azkaban, because the Dementors are afraid of her. They want to be her. She is so devoid of joy and happiness, because she like smiled when it was the scene in the ministry when the new taken over minister was like talking about like putting everything back in order and da da, and she does that little smirk at like going after people who aren't pure blood, and I'm like, you're worse than a stinking Dementor. The Dementors want to be you. Like, that was my thought in my head. I'm like, you would be fine in Azkaban because there's no joy from you to take.
It's true.
But that's my thought.
She's the worst.
She's in the same category as like Emperor Palpatine. Like, she derives joy from inflicting harm.
Yeah, that's same, true. You
know. He's the Palpatine of the Harry Potter world.
She is. You think it's Voldemort, but it's not.
It's Umbridge.
Voldemort is, well, no, we can't say he's Darth because there's no redemption for Voldemort.
No. Voldemort's just kind of his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Maul?
No, because Maul still has some humanity to him. He just has no humanity.
No. Okay. I was trying to think of something. I couldn't.
I'm sure there's somebody in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe Grand Moff Tarkin. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. Well, Tarkin. Yeah.
It works.
Or Count Dooku.
No, because Dooku had humanity before he changed. Tom never that's had true. Humanity.
That's,
I yeah, don't think that's he fair. Did either, yeah.
Yeah, Tom was always just a straight-up sociopath.
For sure.
That's why I say, Voldemort, Tom, he's kind of his own thing.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, so that scene. And then this is kind of a small scene, but I really like when Hermione just has that revelation about the sword of Dr. Gryffindor, just like that, like, pff, like, aha moment, you know, and she gets all excited, and Harry's like, what in the world are you talking about? Typical, you know, she's like, it's 12 so steps funny. Ahead of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think at first he thought she shaved off his head.
I know, because he's like, what?
What happened?
Like, what happened to my hair?
Right.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. He's like, you're a genius. Like, no, I'm actually just really, really logical. I'm just very good at critical thinking. Like,
I know. No, Hermione. You're a genius. Just accept
you're
it.
You're a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so humble. She's so humble.
Mm-hmm. She is.
Yeah. And Ron coming back and saving Harry, you know, kind of coming to his senses. He, you know, he matures in that scene. He grows up. That's nice to see.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which leads into the following scene. And that's this scene is honestly why I can't hate Ron. I mean, I get it. He's extremely toxic and kind of incel-y in this whole sequence, but he has his moment where he's like, he snaps out of it when his like very heartfelt, very sincere speech about the Deilluminator guiding him back specifically to, you know, Hermione is like, okay, he's learned some humility. He's matured. Like, at that moment, like, you know, he's talking about how the light, like, you know, into me, straight through me. I was like, I saw him grow. I saw him maturing from a boy into a very young man.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair statement, yeah.
Yeah, so. You're not wrong. Once he comes back and does this speech.
It's much better.
Mm-hmm. He's much so better. Much better the rest of the series.
Ron's the poster child, I keep saying this, it takes him a while to get there, but he gets there. He's a little confused, but he got the spirit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I love that line. Are you still mad at him? I'm always mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole marriage.
Fair.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So that's my, I'm sure I have plenty of more scenes, but honestly, you probably have more than me. So that's my extensive list of scenes for you.
Yeah. So for me, of course, Fred and George, whenever they pop up in their scenes, I love. Even so, that I remember reading it, and I even remember watching it in the movie and still like my heart clenching when they come back to the burrow and George is hurt, and you get the panic. You're like, oh no, what happened to the twin? It's like, oh wait, wrong twin, hasn't happened yet, but oh. But like, just always their whole sequence. He's like, out of all the ill-begotten humor, you go with holy.
Right. Yeah, I have that whole quote. Yeah, I'll let you do the whole thing. I have the whole quote because I agree with you. It's like the best thing ever.
It's the best. Mm-hmm. George coming in, he's all wrapped up and he takes his coffee cup and he's drinking like morning. But when they turn around, he has in his ear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, dear Lord, George, what are you doing?
Why?
But yeah, just they're great. And the wedding to me, like as I was watching it, just recently, I'm like, this is the like a beautifully haunting wedding. Mm-hmm. It's so gorgeous, but you can feel the tension. You can feel it's like a whole mix of things and just like the atmosphere. And then of course it goes to terror very quickly once the little ball comes and says everyone's dead and they're coming. But mm-hmm. It was just a beautifully haunting scene. I just really mm-hmm. enjoyed it. And her dress, I mean, I would never have it, like, I could never wear I'd never want to, like, do color on my dress, but that beautiful white dress with the black peacock lace thing coming up, oh mm-hmm. my gosh, it was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I had to.
No, that's true. Yeah.
I love the dancing between Harry and Hermione. I said Harry and Ron. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work.
That'd be different.
That'd be interesting. I love the dancing scene with Harry and Hermione. It's that you're in the midst of this war. You're in the midst of Ron just left. He's angry. He's all these things. So they're dealing with those emotions. Hermione for the love emotions. Harry for like the friendship loyalty emotions. Mm-hmm. And this hauntingly fun song comes on. Everything's haunting in this movie to me. Mm-hmm. Where Harry tries to pull Hermione and himself out of the fog for a minute, and you get to see a glimpse of our happy Harry and Hermione that we're mm-hmm. used to from books or from movies 1, 2, and 3 and some of 4. You finally get to see a glimpse of it again, but then it just goes away so quick, and it's just mm-hmm. JK did a beautiful job. Even though this wasn't in the book, the movie and the books did such a beautiful job of showing the dark and the light of mm-hmm. a war with kids, like with these teenage kids age group. Like sometimes I feel like putting teens in the middle of a war that adults should be fighting mm-hmm. is, well, they're technically adults sort of, but I feel like sometimes it's not done. It's always either overdone or underdone. And mm-hmm. I just feel like with JK and how she did it in this book was just done very well. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a couple things here and there, but it just overall went, I think she found the right combo.
No, it's a really poignant thing you said about how it gets really joyous, but it doesn't last. It dies down like really quickly. And mm-hmm. I think you're right. It's like, it's a good balance because part of you wants it to kind of jump into that just, hey, we're okay. Everything's going to be okay again, but it's not okay. It's not mm-hmm. going to be okay for a while. And like the fact that it did die down, it's sad, but it kind of like it's not so much that it's joyous, but it kind of evens things out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Total joy, not total despair, but in like mm-hmm. a, you know, hey, we can get through this. We're stable, kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I saw it.
Trying to stable and balance each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I talked about it, but the whole leaving, the deleted scene with Harry and Dudley is one of my favorites, and also them leaving, like you were talking about, disguising them as Harry was just hilarious. My favorite is when it's Fleur being Harry and she's mm-hmm. undressing and she's like, don't look at me, Bill, I'm hideous. It's like, I feel like Harry should be like, wait a second, ouch.
I know. They talk about that in the book, right? A little bit more about how he's so uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
And he's like, everyone's just like taking off their clothes and it's like, because it's not them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, this is the worst. Mm-hmm. Like, could you all like cover up a little bit? Like, come on.
It's just like a whole bunch of naked people and they all look like me. It's weird.
Yeah. So strange.
I love Hermione. She's like, wow, Harry, your eyesight really is horrible.
It's actually one of my favorite quotes.
Yeah. And then the twins, we're identical, which is just ironic because they're already identical.
The
twins.
Best right. line ever in that scene. I just love it.
Oh, good.
They are so stupid.
I love them. Oh, goodness. So great scene. I thought the snitch trick was cool on the flesh memory. I love when he has that realization of, oh, yeah, that's how I caught it. Mm-hmm. It's a nice little just reminder of the snitch and his journey. Mm-hmm. And then Godric's Hollow in the book scene after like researching it and kind of reading about it again, I'm like, oh, that's right. I really did love that sequence before they get to Babshaw and Nagini and all this stuff, but just the beginning part of coming in and it's Christmas and it's all the things. I'm like, such a beautiful haunting scene.
Again. With the haunting. Yes, I agree.
Maybe I just got a haunted mansion in my mind. I don't know.
Maybe it's just in your brain.
I can't see it this weekend. I'm going next weekend.
Oh, I'm going tonight. I can't wait.
Okay, so we can't talk about it until after I see it.
I'm just going to text you everything about it later today. No, you won't. I'm going to be like, guess what? All these things that happen. I won't. No.
You won't because you don't want to ruin it for me because you want us to be able to discuss it.
Yeah, I know. I won't ruin it. You're right.
Because, I mean, we're going to talk about it in our October episode. Like, let's be real.
Yes, that will be on the list. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what we can live watch because it should be by Disney Plus by then.
I would assume it'll be on Disney Plus by October.
We could live watch Halloween movies.
Ooh. We can.
We'll talk more.
It's okay, define Halloween movies based on our
Disney
audience.
Halloween movies. Okay.
It's not going to be like Halloween Michael Myers.
Are very, very different. I'm just going to let you know that. So
Disney Halloween.
We're not going to be doing some slasher thing. Sorry.
I don't think that's the
other pod. You want that? Go to what's our other pod? What's your
You can't kill the boogeyman podcast.
That one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think I've seen any real Disney Halloween movies. Like none come to mind.
You wait, hold on. Let's pause. You haven't seen
there's
any
like,
of the Halloween towns.
Exactly.
You Halloween haven't Town. Seen well, Nightmare Before Christmas we kind of categorize as both.
It's both, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not really
none of the Disney Channel ones, like what are some of the Disney Channel ones that I'm forgetting about? I'm blanking right now. Hocus Pocus.
Oh, God. Yeah. Hocus Pocus 1, Hocus Pocus 2.
Never saw it.
Bro.
You've never seen Hocus Pocus?
And that's the exact reaction I always get every time I mention it.
I don't know what to do with this information.
Yeah. No, I don't think Halloween Town, Hocus Pocus. Like, I'm not even aware of, like, what. I watched some of most of the Disney Channel original movies. I don't ever remember watching any of the Halloween themed ones.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We there need to move are. On before I like strangle Dan through the screen.
I just can't even process what you just said.
Force choke me.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Where's my wand?
That's too funny. Oh my goodness.
All right, Sammy.
You knocked
your
out my
scenes?
Earphones. My earbuds.
That's Ashley's fault.
Yeah.
She willed them away.
I did.
With their anger. Oh my goodness. Okay, sorry. Where are we at? We're still at favorite scenes, right?
Favorite scenes.
Okay, all right. Okay, so the opening with the Death Eaters, Voldemort, and Malfoy Manor. Like, what an opening, because
good.
I just was thinking back, you know, because we're heading into the final, whatever, with these.
I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, finality, right?
Finale.
Like, that's finale. A word.
Well, finality is the thing. Finality is like a...
yeah.
I can't grammar. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know. Anyway, okay. That whatever I'm trying to say, the last of it. So I was just thinking.
And
I can't grammar. I like it.
I was never that good at grammar.
I don't know. But you know, like we had the Sorcerer's Stone at the beginning and just the way we met Harry in the beginning and now we're here. And it's just such a contrast between the way the two movies start, because this is not a pleasant way to start a movie. I mean, it's very dark and there's a lady hanging out begging for Snape to save her, and that doesn't
was, yeah That was a hard
one. Doesn't go over so well. And then the whole premise of Nagini's about to eat her, that was pretty freaking terrible. And Nagini, just the way they're the Death Eaters who are uncomfortable, not Bellatrix, but some of the other ones, such as Lucius, etc. The way, you know, you just have to sit there and watch this happen. Oh, terrible. I just can't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. No. Mm-mm. But yeah, just a very dark way to open the movie. So that's the scene. The Ministry break-in, obviously, is just epic. I love it. It's just so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the visual telling when we learned about what the Deathly Hallows were. So I like listening.
Gorgeous.
I love listening to her just read it. But yeah, seeing the visuals, that was so great. I love the way that they did that scene. It was great. And I'm glad they decided to go like the more animated route versus trying to do like real people acting out. Mm-hmm. I think it just added to it. So
it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Bellatrix torturing Hermione because it just was so gruesome and so terrible. It was just such a great scene because of that. And just the fact that they came up with it together, it just adds to it. But it just, the screams and how horrendous it was when you see what she's carving into her arm. And oh my gosh, just a way to show, like you were saying, like what they're in the middle of with the war and how evil these people can really be. It was just such a good way to show that.
Yeah, you felt it. You really felt it.
You did. It's her screams. Like, I equate her screams during that scene to like what Harry's screams we would have heard if they did it correct, like if they didn't mute it in Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, and they had to leave it in this time because we needed that.
Yeah, we did. Oh, Dan, quotes.
All right, let's see. Yeah, we've already mentioned these several times, but
mention it again.
All right, the twins were identical.
Best thing ever.
This one is kind of funny. It's an exchange. It's, you know, Harry, when there's Harry's like saying, "No, don't become me. This is dangerous for you. This is different. Becoming me. No." And then Fred's like, well, none of us fancy it, mate. And then George, yeah, imagine if something went wrong and we ended up a screwy, specky git forever.
I love that.
I love that line. But it's I don't know if this is just my uneducated American ears or the really thick British accent or just the fact that he was talking so fast. I literally had to play that scene back several times to understand just what the heck he was actually saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was me. Like, I ended up having to like actually Google, like, what does he actually say? And then I actually said it.
I didn't know he said screwy. I knew he said specky.
I got the specky part. I never got screwy. I don't know that I got screwy either. Yeah.
I got screwy, specky, git forever. I got that part. But I like the first half of the sentence, I was like, wait, what did he just say?
It's
like, imagine something wrong with it. I was like, dude, slow down.
Talk slower.
Talk slower. Americans. Oh, wow. We Americans no smart.
No.
Yeah, we're okay.
Oh boy.
And then Hermione, as Harry, you know, Harry, your eyesight really is awful. What else? Oh yeah. So Ron's return, just kind of hunky dory. Oh, hey, Hermione having a breakdown. Harry, give me my wand. Give me my wand. No. Hey, why's he got your wand? Never mind why he's got my wand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a fun
one. She's just so mad. I love it.
So angry. She has every right to be angry. But
oh, yeah, she does.
She definitely. Really,
you know. But I honestly, it's fun. Sometimes I think I like the trio even more when they're just bickering at each other.
Yeah.
It's, you know, especially with Hermione, she's just reprimanding everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, this is Ron's redemption moment, where he says, you know, he's talking about he's in the pub alone. He hears Hermione's voice through the deluminator. He's like, so I clicked, you know, so I took it, clicked it, and this tiny ball of light appeared. And I knew, and sure enough, it flew straight towards me, this ball of light, right into my chest, right through me, right here. I knew it was going to take me where I needed to go. So I disapparated, came to this hillside. It was dark. I had no idea where I was. Just hoping one of you would show yourself. And you did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Ron, my boy's grown up. My dude's grown up. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I love Harry's response, like, after Hermione walks away. He's like, do you think she's okay? It's like, She will be. Just keep saying stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Just keep saying stuff like that.
Just keep telling her that story. You'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
Good advice.
It's true. Every word of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then this last quote, like, it's a testament to, again, Helena Bonham Carter and what I mentioned about her just going full psycho. Like, mm-hmm. She knows how to get so dark. I saw a little bit of this in Sweeney Todd, too, when she played the, what's her name, Mrs. Mm-hmm. Lovett or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But just the way she, like, just steely enunciates her words. It's like, you know, it's like, sissy, put the boys in the cellar. I'm going to have a conversation with this one. Girl to girl! Like, I just love the way she said that. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I actually recoiled in my chair just mm-hmm. a little bit when I saw that. Because I was like, as much of a crush as I have on Helena Bonham Carter / Bellatrix, if mm-hmm. she had said that to me, like, that far from my face, I'd be like, you know what, just go ahead and kill me right now, because it's nothing beyond this moment is going to be in any way good at all.
Mm-mm. No, yep. We're just done. Yep. Mm-mm.
Yeah, so.
Oh, man.
Just absolute brilliance on her part.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I already said one. Jordan saying, morning. I just love it.
So funny.
Morning.
Drinking.
Mm-hmm. I love in the ministry break-in when they're still in their apologies positions. Yes. Rod's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? My wife's all alone downstairs. He's like, Ron, you don't have a wife.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Oh, right.
Ron. Ron.
Go into character a little bit. Yeah. I don't know if this was actually in the book. I don't remember, but I love this line from the movie. And I use it as a TikTok this past Christmas. Mm-hmm. But it's like, Harry, I think it's Christmas Eve. And mm-hmm. it really shows, like, they don't know what time of the year it is. They don't know what day it is. They're just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to know when and where they are. They just want to survive. And this line really shows that. So I love mm-hmm. it. And then I got to bring in the beginning of the movie. Petunia, I've lived in this house for 20 years. And now in a single night, I'm expected to leave. Harry's like, they'll torture you. If they think for a moment you know where I'm going, they'll stop at nothing. And Petunia's like, you think I don't know what they're capable of? You didn't just lose a mother that night in Godric's Hollow, you know? I lost a sister. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, mm-hmm. oh, for once we finally get emotion from that woman.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful moment. And then Dudley. So Vernon's like, this isn't just goodbye, boy, is it? This is farewell. Dudley's like, I don't understand. Isn't he coming with us? And Vernon's like, who? Dudley's, Harry. Absolutely not. Why? Why? Because he doesn't want to, do you, boy? And then Harry's like, absolutely not. No, besides, I'm just a waste of space. Isn't that right, Vernon? And Vernon's like, come on, Dudley, we're off. And Dudley goes and shakes Harry's hand. He's like, I don't think you're a waste of space. And Harry says, thank you. And Harry's like, see you, Big D, and smiles at him. And for the first time ever, they had a cordial moment, which is just... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I already said this one, but after he returns, you're not so mad at him, are you? I'm always mad at him. Right. Just how she says it. It's just mm-hmm. so funny. Let's see here. Oh, when Harry's trying to leave the Burrow before the wedding, and Ron catches him, and he's like, we can't leave without Hermione. We wouldn't last 2 days without her. He pauses. Don't tell her I said that. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. you should. You need to tell her. You
Somebody
need
to tell appreciate her.
You need to tell her all these things. Because it's true. None of you would be alive. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have lived past the first year of Hogwarts.
Nope.
Let's see here.
I love this one.
Mad-Eye. Fair warning. It tastes like goblin piss. Fred. Have lots of experiences with that. Do you, Mad-Eye? Moody glares. Just trying to diffuse the tension.
I just love the way he says that line.
Forgot about that, yeah.
Oh, it's so funny. Oh my gosh. Okay, so this was very hard to narrow down, but mm-hmm. So I have Bellatrix at the end when she's yelling at Dobby. She tells him, you stupid elf, you could have killed me. And Dobby says, Dobby never meant to kill. Dobby only meant to maim or seriously injure. I love that.
Best line.
Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Oh, I had the wow, we're identical thing too, because it's freaking hilarious. Mm-hmm. And then, like we were talking about earlier with Ashley, I have that whole line with the hole in the head. So once George is a bit injured, you know, after the they're flying out. So Fred says, "How you feeling, Georgie?" And George says, "Saint-like." Fred says, "Come again?" George says, "Saint-like," and points to his ear. And then George says, "I'm holy." And Fred says, "Pathetic. With the whole wide world of ear-related humor before you, you go for holy." And it's just so funny. Great. And so pure. And I just love that even in that very scary moment that they're able to joke around like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And a great Luna Lovegood quote, since she's not in this enough. She tells Harry at the wedding, "Hello, Harry. Oh, I've interrupted a deep thought, haven't I? I can see it growing smaller in your eyes."
I love that line.
I just love Luna. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, she's always just so honest and, yeah, pure.
Yeah.
Trying to see if there's... Oh, I forgot to put that line on my other favorite quote. I love when they get to London... And they're talking about they're trying to figure out how they knew, or after they leave the coffee shop, and they're trying to figure out how they knew he was there, they were there. Mm-hmm. And Harry says something about, well, maybe they can still trace me. He's like, no, it's Wizarding Law. After 17, the trace goes. And like Hermione kind of stops and has this moment. She's like, oh no, we forgot to celebrate your birthday. Oh, Jenny and I had a cake. I just like. Harry's like, it's okay, Hermione. It's like, Hermione, there's more going on. We don't need to worry about a birthday cake right now.
Oh, it's so precious. The way she's so worried about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even in the midst of all this, she's still thinking about other people.
Yeah.
So a couple things just that I noticed in the movie as we were going through. Like, did you notice that when Harry and Hermione are talking on the cliff, without Ron, right before actually Ron comes back, he doesn't call you-know-who Voldemort. He calls him you-know-who, which most of the time he calls him Voldemort. This was the first time I remember him calling him you-know-who since, like, Goblet of Fire. And I thought that was an odd choice.
That's, okay, this annoys me.
I don't know why.
They don't explain it. In the book, it's explained.
Is it because they're afraid, like, he can find him?
No, it has nothing, well, kind of. It has nothing really to do with being afraid like that. So, in the book, they explain the reason why they were caught when they leave the wedding, remember? Because they're like, how did they find us when we left? Yeah. And they just, like you just said, they're talking about the trace. It's because they put some sort of trace on the word Voldemort. Mm-hmm. So if anyone said the word Voldemort, they were able to find you and they knew you're a defector, because people who were afraid of them or were following him don't call him Voldemort, right? That's how they did it. And they find this out. So Harry stops referring to him in that way, and they all start referring to him as you-know-who, whatever, because they know that they'll be caught. And and at the end, if I recall, he says Voldemort, and that's how they're found, and they get taken to the Malfoy Manor, is actually because he says Voldemort, and then they're found, because they're seen, if I remember from the book, but it's been like a minute, so...
But in the movie, like, isn't that also how, what's his name, Luna's father, like, how he gets... Like, he says the name and then they find him there or something like that?
He leaves he leaves the scene and he goes and sends some sort of alert to them. But I don't know what he does exactly.
Because I could have sworn that, like, he mentioned Voldemort's name. He might have said Voldemort, too. And then, maybe that's why how he got signaled. I couldn't remember. Mm-hmm.
I totally forgot about all of that.
Yeah,
that,
and they don't explain any of that.
They don't. And it's interesting. I find it's not just a great way to track anybody, because he knows that Harry calls him Voldemort. Mm-hmm. He knows that he doesn't use you-know-who. So not only is it a great way to track, but it also is a great way to continue to put fear on his name to everyone else. It very much is like a fear tactic to do it that way. So that's interesting.
Yep.
So I'm surprised in Snape's redemption, you didn't add this. I saw something you didn't see.
I didn't rewatch the movies, though. I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't have time. So
okay,
there's a good chance I missed something because of that.
You did. Mm-hmm. So Harry, or Snape, is the reason why he finds the sword.
Oh yeah, I didn't bring up the, you know why? Because I was like, there's so much stuff that happens that is explained in the next one. I was like, maybe I'll just wait and kind of do everything when we get to like the Prince's Tale.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, that's fair. He did send. Yeah. That's why I was kind of like half. Yeah. I was a little, I told you this is hard to split in my brain. Yeah. And yeah, but that's true. He does send the dough. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. Cause the dough's there and we think it's Lily. I don't remember why we know the dough is Lily. I think they explained it in the book at some point.
I think it's in the book and not in the movie.
His mom's is a dough and his father is the stag, which makes sense because, you know, it's they're married. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I saw that. I'm like, dang it, there's one.
Mm-hmm. It's so tricky to split these up. That's my problem. I was really struggling with that too.
Yeah. And then I have a question in that same scene when he goes in the ice. Why in the bleepity bleep would you take a Horcrux into some like near a object that could kill it in water that could kill you?
Because Harry is not Hermione.
Yeah,
he doesn't really think things through.
Mm-mm.
You're right. Yeah.
Every time I see that scene, I'm like, it has a living being in it. It has Voldemort in it. It knows the sword can kill it. Why are you taking it near the sword?
Right. In below zero water. Water, so no air and no warmth.
And all alone.
Get out because it's frozen.
Exactly.
Yep. All alone. Good job, Harry.
Very dumb.
Great job.
Dumb. Like, I think I remember seeing that scene for the first time thinking, oh, he just, the Horcrux knows he's in water so he can kill him. But I'm like, no, it's more than that. The Horcrux literally knows you are going to grab something that can kill it.
Hello.
And it is trying to get away from the thing that can kill it.
Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking too, now that we're talking about this entire scene, they never explain also in the movies, if I recall, how in the freaking world Snape would know where to send the dough and where to hide the Sword of Gryffindor. They don't address this.
I don't even remember how he knows.
It's because of what's his face, the portrait.
Nigiris Black. Phineas Nigiris Black.
Yeah, Phineas. Yes, thank you. He's literally hanging out in the office talking to Snape, and he is in the bag because Hermione grabbed the portrait and put it in the bag because she never wanted him to know like exactly where they were, but she wanted to have a way to see what was going on at Hogwarts and kind of keep a touch there.
Mm-hmm.
They never explain any of this. So he's hanging out in the bag and he's like, oh, I heard her say Forest of Dean. That's where they are. So Snape's like, oh, cool. I'm going to go drop the sword off. Thanks.
Yep.
Great.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
Just little plot holes. Like
The movie makes a lot of plot holes because they're missing stuff from the book.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other scenes or things from this particular movie that you guys want to bring up? I think I brought up all my things.
There is a quote that I forgot to mention, and it actually adds to the quote that Sammy's last quote that was Luna when they end the scene and she walks off and goes, come on, Daddy, Harry doesn't want to talk to us right now. He's just too polite to say so.
Yes, I love that.
I forgot about that. She's so funny.
She's great.
Oh, I love her. Oh, he's just too polite to say it. Oh, Luna.
Yeah.
And should we talk about Dobby at all since we kind of avoided it? Or
we're going to have to mention it at some point.
I mean, I'm just saying this is the movie.
I don't know how to talk about it because.
I mean, it is a
beautiful scene.
It is beautiful, yes.
Dobby, if we go back to the second book when he comes into play, at the end of the book, he's like, I will always be there to save Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And he does.
He's there.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know who sends him until the next book or to the next movie or later on in the book if you're leading the book, but because you don't know who's in the mirror. But he's there. He comes and he saves Harry Potter. And it's in the most cute, adorable way.
Mm-hmm.
How he deals with Bellatrix. And Bellatrix deserves to die horrendous, horrible, torturous death.
Oh.
And what she did.
And we didn't even mention how he sits on
the knife.
And he sits on the chandelier and he's like unscrewing it and everybody just kind of looks up. That's a great scene.
Hilarious.
Too, yeah.
That's what I said. It's a cute, adorable way that he saves them up until the point where Bellatrix has really good aim.
But that just shows you that's Bellatrix.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No mercy. Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and just I almost put it in here, but I didn't want to do it. But we're going to I'll say it anyways. So one of my favorite quotes that is just heart-wrenching is that quote at the end where he looks at the beach. He's dying. He's laying in Harry's arms. He's bleeding. And he looks at the beach. He's like, isn't this such a beautiful place to be with friends? And that's And it's so beautifully horrible. And Harry's like, we're not doing this magic. Like, he deserves a real funeral. We are doing this the right way, and we're doing this without magic. We're not taking the easy way on this, because this is not easy. We need to process this. We need to
It's just cathartic to do the burial that way.
So it was a horrible way to end this movie.
Literally one of the worst deaths.
Like, I mean, I remember the movie ending the first time we saw it in theaters, and I'm just like, did you and I see it together?
I would assume by this point in time we saw this together. Yeah. Wait, this November 9th. This would have been
I was still in college. You and I were both, we might have saw it together like Thanksgiving once we came break. Back for Thanksgiving, I probably saw it before then.
I probably saw it multiple times in theaters, if I had to guess.
So I just remember seeing it the last time. I'm like, we're ending here? Really?
Yeah,
here?
Because we didn't know. So angry. Yeah, because we knew there were two movies, but we didn't know, like, where, how are they going to split this up? Where are we going to end? And then it's like, oh, great. Thank you for this. Yeah.
So annoying. Yeah, I think I saw it. That was when I was living with one of my Megan roommates. I've had a lot of Megan roommates over the years. I've had at least three, if not more.
All these Megans.
No, four. I have had four Megan roommates over the years. This was Megan number two. And we went and saw Deathly Hallows together because we both loved Harry Potter. She's the one who's a writer out in LA.
That's
She's
cool.
on strike right now.
Well, of course, because Buddy,
I don't know what she's working on, because Supernatural ended, because she was a writer on Supernatural. So I don't know what she's doing, she's gonna be doing afterwards, but anyways, that's my take on Dobby's death. We talked about it.
I'm just saying, we have to acknowledge it, because it's an important part of the movie.
So let's take an inventory. So we've lost Hedwig. We've lost Mad-Eye.
One ear from one twin.
Yes, but he's alive, so we'll leave that at that. Anybody else other than Dobby? Is the rest of them after this one? Mad-Eye, Dobby.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything else in this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we get to talk about it next week.
Yeah.
Super.
Come back next week so we can die.
Yeah, come back next week and be tortured with us.
Come to die.
I have that in my quotes, I believe. No, I don't know what I remember what I have.
I saw
that. I might have that in my quotes. I don't know.
Harry Potter, the boy who lived.
Yes. The Pixie Dust audience.
Freaking Voldemort, man.
We'll have to open that. That's how we'll open that the next episode. The Pixie Dust twins come to die. Pixie Dust audience. Come to die.
Oh, God.
Nagini. Dinner.
Oh, that's exactly how he sounds. That's perfect.
I don't know how else to end, but say bye.
Okay, so, yeah. Bye-bye. Until next time. Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy, logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.